We'll hear argument now in the case of United States against Curlin.
Without a note, huh? Without a note. No net. Wow.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
That's great.
May it please the court. The district court erred when they failed to hold a hearing on Marcus Curlin's motion to suppress the evidence in his case. Mr. Curlin was charged by a grand jury in Southern District of Indiana for being a felon in possession of a firearm. And the evidence that was located, the firearms, rather, that were charged on his case, were found when officers were present at his home. They were present at his home to execute a eviction order.
What expectation of privacy does a person possess when they fail to leave after an eviction order and the order is in the process of being carried out? Because that's base, you know, that's sort of bottom line.
Yes, Your Honor. Basically, Mr. Curlin did have an expectation of privacy. The home was still the residency that he occupied. His belongings were going to
squatter in somebody else's home, defying a judicial eviction order.
Yeah.
Why do squatters in other people's homes have any expectations at all other than to be thrown on the street?
There is no dispute that Mr. Curlin could be removed from the home. I think that what is perhaps more problematic from our standpoint is the concept that the evidence is inevitably discovered in this case.
Yeah, but given that the constable had the authority, you know, and the more than the authority, he has the obligation, you know, to remove all that property from the residence pursuant to the eviction order. I mean, isn't it clear that the evidence is admissible under the doctrine of inevitable discovery? I mean, you walk in and it's all there. It's all there, and you've got the right to, you know, carry it out.
Your Honor, understanding precisely where you're coming from, I think that what is perhaps frustrating and what we believe is at issue here is that the doctrine of inevitable discovery appears to be applicable unless and until you consider the facts that surround the eviction process in Indiana. And the reality is, although the constable is given an order to effect the eviction, the constable, if evidence would have been heard, we would have learned that the constable does not go in and remove the items themselves and do the inventory themselves.
That's not what it's done under his supervision.
Your Honor, his supervision in that he allows the moving company to come into the home and remove the items.
But does it really matter, because the contraband was going to have been discovered?
By whom? And that is precisely our issue. It's not necessarily discovered by law enforcement. If we look at the itemization that's done by the moving company, it is scant at best. If you look at the photographs of the removal of the property, it's property thrown from all different areas into trash bags. It's not necessarily discovered by law enforcement, which means it's not necessarily inevitably discovered, Your Honors.
Oh.
Scott, didn't the district court, apart from this inevitable discovery discussion, find that it was necessary as a protective sweep?
Your Honor, the district court did find that it was necessary as a protective
sweep. Why isn't that carried the day?
Well, Your Honor, we don't believe it was a proper protective sweep, certainly. Mr. Curlin was secured at the door of his home. There were no other persons in the home. There was no reason to believe that there was anyone else in the home.
No, but the constable had been ordered to physically remove him.
That is correct.
That's it's pretty dangerous stuff, isn't it?
That is correct, Your Honor. But typically when they effect an eviction order, they do not go to the home, knock on the door, place the person in handcuffs, and then
typically
go through.
You don't have somebody who is threatening armed resistance to an eviction order.
With a shotgun in plain view.
That's why this was an entry by law enforcement officials, armed, worried about their safety, rather than just sending the moving company to deal with somebody who was cooperating.
And, Your Honor, we believe that if the facts would have been heard at a hearing, that the facts would not have revealed that particular specific bit of evidence was accurate at all. We conducted investigation, and we spoke with each and every officer that was involved in the case, and we've yet to find the root of that particular statement. So we don't believe that there's any accuracy there, and we don't believe that the district court judge would have found that there was accuracy in that statement. And so it's for those reasons we believe that the evidence would not have been inevitably discovered, and we believe that the protective sweep was wholly unnecessary.
So a hearing would not have shown that the rifle and shotgun were in plain view in the walk-in closet where a person could very easily be found, easily be hiding.
Your Honor, we are not arguing the plain view exception. We do believe that if the search is allowable, that the items that were located were in plain view. So we would not be in a position to argue that the officers, if allowed to be in the premises, would not have seen the firearms. And so for the reasons that were listed before, we would ask that the court reverse and remand to the lower court. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Scott. Mr. Rinka.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, Ms. Scott, Matthew Rinka on behalf of the United States. It is the government's view that district court did not err in this matter, either by denying Marcus Curland's motion to suppress in its entirety or by doing so without a hearing. The undisputed facts in this case carry the day. The court's questioning of Ms. Scott, I think, picked out all of the high points, many of which the government raised in its response brief.
Is there any expectation of privacy in a residence at the time that an eviction order is executed? In other words, if let's say the owner has a moving van there, and, you know, he's moving the property out, and the execution order is being executed, could the constable nevertheless enter into the property and seize any contraband that's in plain view?
The court raises a very good point that Mr. Curland wouldn't even perhaps, it could be argued, have standing to raise this issue in the first place because he had no reasonable expectation of privacy in that residence. It was a rented property to begin with. It was not his. Then he engages in this months-long battle with his landlord over who's going to pay rent and when he's going to pay rent. The small claims court issues not one but two notices to appear for hearings, which he summarily ignores. He ignores the eviction orders themselves. The strong argument could be made, Your Honor. The government didn't raise it, but we believe that would be a very strong argument to be made, that there is no reasonable expectation of privacy in that residence any longer.
Thank you.
But that notwithstanding, the fact remains that there was a lawful eviction order that was issued. The constable had nothing to do with the issuance of that order. He was, in fact, duty-bound to enforce that order. The fact that a moving company may assist the constable in removing the property from that residence does not negate the fact that the constable himself was required to go and physically remove Marcus Curland from that residence and, oh, by the way, anybody else that was there, including in closets and bedrooms and attic spaces. That constable was required by law to go through and make sure that he could return that property to the lawful owner. The fact also remains that whether or not it's in dispute, it is undisputed, whether or not the underlying facts are disputed, it is undisputed that on the docket of the small claims court of Franklin Township, there was a note to the judge indicating that the IMPD had been to the residence and discovered marijuana and firearms shortly before the eviction order was executed. All those things considered, including Mr. Curland's criminal history, gave good reason to the constable to suggest that the Marion County Sheriff's Department assist him in evicting Mr. Curland and removing all of his property. And what flowed from that course of events was the fact that the marijuana and the firearms were inevitably discovered by the law enforcement officers.
Okay.
I have nothing further to say on the issue. The government would respectfully request that the district court's orders denying the motion to suppress be affirmed.
Anything further, Ms. Scott?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement in the court.